Blog Talk Radio. California.
Welcome to Drive Through HR. Happy Friday, and it's been a crazy, great week, busy, and it's William, Nisha, and Ryan coming to you live every day, lunch, talking about HR. So let's get to our guests. I'm really excited to kind of have the conversation today and see kind of what's up in his world. So Ray, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the time today.
Well, if you would, we'll kick it off. Have you introduce yourself to our family of listeners, and then we'll get on with it from there.
Sounds great. Yeah, my name's Ray Polakowski. I'm the COO of Redbook Connect and also co-founder of Hot Schedules, based right here in Austin, Texas.
Well, fantastic. And if you would, just because, like I said, a lot of folks, you're kind of a niche-specific technology play. So tell us a little bit of what Redbook Connect, affectionately known as RBC, and Hot Schedules, kind of high-level what those are so our listeners don't have to scramble and get online and not be tweeting and can just listen to all the brilliance you're going to bring today.
Sure, no problem. So Hot Schedules is an online workforce management solution that was created by myself and a good friend of mine, David Cantu, about 14 years ago. Really, it was created while we were in the industry, and we were looking for a much better way to just distribute the weekly employee schedule to all of our team members. So it started off just like that. It was an online scheduling system, but luckily, over the years, we've worked with a lot of our customers in the restaurant industry to build even more features and functionality into it. So we've incorporated a lot of new, very cool tools that the end user gets to use. One of the ones I love the most is our mobile capability. So right now, if you go into iTunes, we're somewhere in the top three iTunes applications and underneath the business category. And what that does is it allows our users to access their weekly work schedule from anywhere. They can check schedules. They can put in schedule requests. They can pick up and release shifts, all with just a touch of a button. And so what we've done over the years is we've listened to our customers and what they've wanted more from us. And we've asked them what types of solutions they need to run their business. And so that kind of brings us to where we are today with Redbook Connect. We came from the industry, the restaurant industry, and used a paper-based management log called the Redbook for a number of years. And we just realized that it's such a great tie-in to what we do with Hot Schedules, since we touch so many of our customers on a daily basis. They use our system for communication. It was just a natural plug-in for us to partner up with Redbook Solutions to digitize what they have and also provide the same solution that they've provided to the industry for years, which is the manager's Redbook. So that was kind of the jumping off point. But there were a lot of other things in the restaurant industry that our customers needed. For instance, when they hire folks, they needed a seamless, paperless hiring and onboarding solution. So we've added a company called GoHire, which is tied in really well with Hot Schedules. That way our managers that use our system can, post out a new opening. The applicants can find those openings, apply for the job, go right through the process all through GoHire and Hot Schedules very seamlessly. And then the other thing that our customers need when they are hiring folks is a training solution. So you bring on new team members, you need to train them. And what we've seen while we were in the industry were very antiquated, old learning management systems where basically, if it was even technology, it was simply somebody reading off a PowerPoint to you. Not very engaging, not something that today's workforce really would get benefit from. So we found a great solution actually here in Austin, Texas, called Skooks. We've added them to our portfolio and have gotten rave reviews about the way that it engages the workforce. Again, it's a seamless solution that ties right in with Hot Schedules. So that's another product in our portfolio. And lastly, in the restaurant industry, there's the two largest controllable expenses are food and labor. And our customers continually want us to, provide them with those tools. And naturally, we found a company out of Atlanta called Macromatics. They've got great brands using their solution. They run their company very similar to ours. They're built on a value system. They've got great culture. And they treat the customers the way we do. And so their back office inventory, supply chain, and cash management solution was a great fit for the Redbook Connect vision as well. So all told, we're five companies that are all doing great things for the restaurant industry, helping the restaurateur and the restaurant employee run their life much more easily.
Well, and again, because you guys are kind of vertically, you're basically vertically focused. That's why I wanted to make sure and give some context to the platform, because it's definitely it's not the typical, like I said, a lot of our folks are HR, talent, not so much operators per se, but the beauty is, like I said, it's very life cycle, and all your products end up touching people per se, but especially like the scheduling product, which is the perfect segue to Hot Schedules. 14 years in technology terms is about a century, right? As fast as things are moving, that is like just a long time. And so you guys are known, I knew about you, it's been years now, but I've known about you guys reputation-wise of being a pretty edgy, cool company. And now you're kind of shuffled into a series of companies, and it's bigger and it's a little broader. And so how does that culture play? How does culture not change? Are you staying a cool company? And you got to be. And this is circle of trust, right? So we'll be honest here. So how is the culture holding up? Now that you're with other folks and other companies, and you're broadening and you're pushing it. So how's that all working? How are you staying cool over there?
So as you can imagine, building our company from the restaurant industry and really staying focused on that culture was very important to myself and the founders over the years. And I think we've done a great job of creating a place that people absolutely love to be a part of. We built the company on core values. We focus on those. We run the business that way. And what was really exciting to us when we created Redbook Connect is that the larger organization has adopted those core values. They've adopted the culture, the philosophies that we have about not only taking care of our customers, but taking care of our people. Coming from the restaurant business, we knew that if we took care of our team members, in turn, they're going to take care of our customers the way we would. So we focused on that tenant, and it's really paid back dividends. But, to be very honest with you, too, I mean, that's what I wake up every morning keying in on. I'm hyper-focused on making sure that we bring in the best people. That's what really is the key to this success, is hiring the right people. A few bad apples can certainly tip the cart, as you know. So we're still maintaining that high level of focus on getting the right people into the mix. And I think we've done a great job. In fact, when we put these companies together, that's one of the common bonds that we had, is the cultures were from the leadership down to the hourly workforce, we all believed in the same things about taking care of the customer, taking care of our people, and really doing something that's pretty amazing in the restaurant industry for our end users. So absolutely, you're right. Those are some of the things that happen when you do a merger. But knowing that we're absolutely focused on it and that we make it a primary goal for us to keep that culture intact, I think will serve us well. But so far, so good.
Well, and thank you for sharing that. So what's some advice? We usually get advice to practitioners. being through an acquisition, definitely being through, you know, the ultimate startup that came out of a, like, needed, like, functionality to run a business. I mean, 14 years ago, you saw a pain, and you're like, let's figure out a better way to do that. So you've kind of been through an interesting life cycle that's kind of rolling into kind of pushing maturity level type product. And so what is your advice for other executives that are at some point in the life cycle with their company to actually not only potentially maintain and enhance their culture, but maybe start a cooler culture? Maybe it's a culture they want to change and they just don't know where to go. You guys have probably had ebbs and flows of that potentially. What are some thoughts on that you can share with, you know, the millions of executives that I am sure are going to download this show and listen to it over the next few weeks?
Sure. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times executives think culture is one of those touchy-feely things that they really shouldn't get involved in. But, you know, I can honestly say that it's the one thing that's moved the needle for us the most. Team members today, they don't want to wake up and just punch the clock and have a job. They want to come into a place that they feel like they're part of something bigger, something that they can actually be proud of. I think that our company has the ability to do something really amazing for the restaurant industry. I came from the restaurant industry, so I know who we're working with. And one of the things, and I'll kind of regress here a little bit, one of the things that I was so tired of when I worked in the restaurant industry was a pet peeve of mine when people next to me would say that they were only working there until they had a real job. But to me, I was paying real bills with a real job, and I was really wondering how these folks were going to treat their next job. But then I stopped for a moment and reflected. It wasn't necessarily their fault that they felt that way. It was really a problem with the industry. People look at the restaurant industry as a stepping stone industry, not a cornerstone, and mostly because the folks that are there, they're not getting any kind of formal training. They're not getting any kind of development. There's no tools to help them do their job more effectively every day. So I look at what we're doing in this industry as absolutely the potential for improving the lives of the people that we serve in that industry. And I think that translates all the way down to our team members and the culture that we've created, that they really believe that they're part of something much bigger than just coming into a workplace and providing a cool app. So I would say to any executive out there that it's something that you really have to devote time, resources, and attention to, and it's not something that can be forced. It's something that absolutely has to be, you know, in the fabric of your company and the way you run business. And I can also say that it goes all the way back to establishing some core values that everybody believes in, and that you know that when you're not in that room, and if there's those core values in place, everybody on your management team, from you know, maybe your co-founder down to your line level manager, will make the same decision because they're all working from the same core values. I can't overstate it enough that it is absolutely the one thing that has given us the edge, if you will, in the industry that we're going after, that we've got a team of people that absolutely get the culture, get what we're doing here, and are always striving to do better.
Well, I got a couple. I got a couple innovation questions. I just want, or the words I want to get your response to, and then we have to come back to my Red Book story that I don't tell enough. I only tell it a couple times a year at conferences, but I find it so amusing. I got to share it. We'll come back to that one. So innovation. You always hear, that's one of the words that I love. I love people that push the bounds and take risk, and I love innovative concepts, all those things. And so, but it is one of those words for me that I'm almost to the point of saturation where I just want people to quit using it so it gets more of the impact back. Of impact, that's another word that you know, people use for, you know, with various you know, levels of frequency. And so when people say innovation and they say we're a agile innovation company, or we're an agile culture, or we're a culture of innovation, kind of how does that play in for RBC and hot schedules? how do you explain that, right? Because I consider you guys to be, you know a lot about the company and a lot about, you know, just exposed to the culture. It seems to be an incredibly fast-moving, innovative culture, right? So how do you explain how that gets packaged, right, for other companies to do that and embrace that?
So it might have become a little easier for us. Going back to when Hot Schedules was founded, we literally created an industry. There was no such thing as online restaurant or even online scheduling for that matter. So we were we were founded on innovation. We completely took something that was manual based and enabled it with technology. And everybody that we hire has that type of entrepreneurial spirit. And if you look at the companies that were also part of Redbook Connect, all of those were entrepreneurial companies. Redbook itself, 25 or 30 years ago, was founded by two ex-restaurateurs that saw a better way to manage and follow up with their business practices, and that's how Redbook was founded. Same with Macromatics, our back office system. Two founders that realized that, hey, there's a better way to manage inventory and supply chain and cash. It's all through technology. So each one of our products have been entrepreneurial backed. So you can imagine the types of folks that we have in a room. We don't ever want to crush that spirit. It's something that I think will differentiate us and continue to push that bar. For others that would be trying to do something similar, I think as long as you take the barriers off your people to be creative and creativity, by the way, is one of our core values. It's allowing them to make mistakes. Mistakes are how you actually learn and do better going into the future. So we've created an environment where people can absolutely take risks. They can make mistakes as long as they are doing it in the spirit of making the company better or are doing something for our customers. Then we absolutely never squash that. And I just think it's removing those barriers so folks can feel free to do that. It is something that, again, you have to key in on.
Well, so let's switch gears to technology. You guys, what's interesting to me, and I do a little of my background for everybody. I haven't said it for a long time. Multi-unit, I have like two or three lives ago, over 300 units in a company. So I grew up, like my emerging years out of college and all that stuff during college, was working in bartending restaurants and then ultimately got into like operational. So multi-unit P&Ls, all that stuff. I mean, that's where I grew up, right? So that's just part of who my DNA is. And so technology, I'm always thinking about how impactful the changes or kind of new chapters in technology are. Mobile, portability, I mean, all of that is where we're at today and looking at what's in the future. And so what are some places that you're surprised, maybe surprised that there's not been more, I guess, progress or innovation in maybe from a restaurant perspective in being able to access and use things from a portable standpoint or from a mobility standpoint? Any areas in operations you're like, boy, it needs to go farther, it needs to push faster?
So there's two points I guess I would make on this. I reflect back to when we started the company 14 years ago, and the barriers that we were having back then are very different from today. So we would go to restaurants that didn't have internet access, right? And that was the biggest barrier. Where fast forward to today, and now everybody has internet access, and it's the big, and you mentioned it, it's mobility. It's putting everything in the hands of an operator, at the touch of their fingertips, to be able to help them run their business. That is where we're at today. I think from a restaurateur's perspective, it's going fast and furious now. The amount of solutions that are being presented to them, it's hard for them to sift through what is legitimate and what's not. I think that if you go and look at all the solutions that are being offered, I guess I'm not surprised. You're asking, what surprises me that's not being adopted. I mean, there's a ton of things right now that are actually being tried in the industry. I don't know really what which ones will survive. For everything from table management to loyalty to, of course, what we do, which is the scheduling piece, labor management, back office, all of that is going mobile. We're absolutely going to lead that charge. We've reconfigured the company to be mobile first. It's just the way our users are wanting to get to the information. But I don't think there's any lack of technology that's being thrown at restaurateurs right now. It's really what surprises me is that the restaurateurs are actually way more open today than they were 14 years ago to the idea of technology. And you know, the big one I think that's going to be probably picked off next is the POS. Having the POS of old days where, you know, it's tied to like a server in a restaurant and you're kind of handcuffed to what you can do with those old systems. I think the technology today is going to vastly improve that, and the restaurateurs will be the benefactors of that for sure.
Well, and the thing that I would, and for everybody, POS is point of sale, not somebody that's underperforming on your team, by the way. Just for clarification. Would totally agree. And I think what's really cool is at the end of the day, the operators, like, you know, especially restaurant operators, service industry, it's getting people walking in the door. Right, it's getting people sitting in the seats, asses in the seats, is that, you know, it's affectionately referred to, having people that enjoy the experience and then evangelize if that's the beauty of social. Is now, I mean, you get a big evangelist out there, it is amazing on how much buzz they can drive for you, both positive and negative. And so that's where the real, obviously, exciting opportunity comes from. So. And I would be remiss in not asking this, Ray, especially, you've been around, 14 years, again, in the technology side of the world, you know, especially where you were doing, like, thin client installs and things like that back in the day. Big data. So where is the cloud and big data and analytics? Where is that taking us in the future for the restaurant industry?
Sure. So that's a very good point, because that's something that we're focused on right now as well. You kind of look at the industry as a whole, and I'll go back to those POS companies or point-of-sale companies, and historically they've been very closed with their information. They've created a us-and-them type of relationship with their customers where they don't like to share their data. They don't like to be open for vendors to make it easy for them to integrate. We feel the complete opposite of that. We feel like the company that can actually enable entrepreneurs and other companies to interact with their customers more easily and frictionlessly, the better off the industry is as a whole. So we're taking the approach that with big data, you can really release the ties that bind, if you will, to those old POS companies and back office systems that just don't have the access to the data that a lot of these restaurateurs need. A restaurateur at the end of the day wants a vendor to come in and help them run their business more efficiently. And if you're not a vendor that helps that end goal, I think you're going to be seen as a very closed system, and you're not going to be one that will take this industry to the next level. So I think from a big data perspective, it absolutely is going to play in hugely for the restaurant industry. Think about from a loyalty perspective and the amount of data that we can help a restaurateur collect and distribute and manage, to also the forecasting piece. So with all of the sales data that they're pulling in from very disparate systems across the country, we can help organize that and facilitate much better forecasting capabilities for not only their sales but their labor projections. So it's in the past, we haven't had this type of ability to aggregate the data that we do today. And then once we have that data, we're able to allow access by way of open APIs, so that other entrepreneurs or other companies can come in and start using those tools to ultimately help their customers, which are our customers. So we believe that the big data piece of the puzzle is something that we've got to key in on, and it's it'll be a big benefit for the industry.
Well, that's, I mean, that's, those are the type of things I get really excited about, because you start to be able to actually tap into data sets that you could never combine in the past, ever, to take a look at any correlations that you can, you know, you can start to understand why you're able to open a restaurant here and it just goes gangbusters. And then you have exactly the same variables. You open it there and it just falls flat. Right? What are, you know, why is that happening, and be more predictive of that. I think that's, you know, that's the type of stuff that I get, you know, geeky excited about. Yeah, I don't know what I call it, but anyway, I get pretty excited about it.
Sure.
So what's something, this is one of my favorite questions, by the way. What is something, like a term or a concept, that you just would really like people to stop using? You're tired of it. It's like, man, this is wore out. If I don't hear that ever again in my entire lifetime, outside the term of boy band, that's mine, what would it be that you're like, God, just don't use that anymore? Let's just move on.
Oh, let's see. What would that be? I guess maybe best practices.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Yep. I think that's overused.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that one, people certainly ride that bandwagon a little bit too much. You know, at the end of the day, we're trying to put tools in the hands of restaurateurs that allow them to run their business the way they see fit. What works in one location might not necessarily work in the others. So, you know, we're all about putting the power back in the hands of the operator to make sure that they can run their business effectively. And yeah, if you can find some tools that work for others, that's great. But yeah, I guess that would be the one that I hear so much and so often. But sometimes it's a little bit overused.
Yeah, I'll be candid. I kind of threw up when you said it. So just a little bit. That's how much I'm not a fan. You know, that's, I heard one time somebody, I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody that I actually definitely follow, just said a best practice is at its very best outdated when you're saying it, right? There's just no innovation tied to a best practice typically,
right?
Which I thought was incredibly poignant. So we've got about 2.5 minutes left, and so a couple more terms. Again, you're a technology guy. You guys are a service first company, great culture. What's kind of your first thoughts when you hear a term like crowdsourcing?
So that's something that's actually been talked a lot about here in Hot Schedules and Redbook Connect. I mean, we've got such a huge user base of individuals that use our system that we believe that there's a way that you can leverage that. If in my restaurant, when I used to work in the industry, I had a way to tap into the resources of all of my team members all at once, I would have killed for that. I think now what we're able to do is kind of open up that channel for our customers to use their very talented individuals that work for them for other things. I mean, what I love pointing people to is we now do a yearly contest amongst our user base. We call it My Life, My Schedule. There's no rules. It's just, hey, send us a 2 to 3 minute video about how Hot Schedules has impacted your life. And it just shows the power of putting putting that type of creativity back in the hands of the users. And the videos that we get blow us out of the water every year to see what not only our user base is capable of doing, but also it humbles us because we realize what we're really doing for the lives of our user base. And, crowdsourcing ultimately, at the end of the day, if it's used the right way, it can be very powerful. We're looking at ways that we can enable that for our customer base. And the first thing I think of is training. I know that I reflect back on the industry as well, and I remember knowing there were some great trainers that worked on the West Coast that I very rarely ever had a chance to interact with. But if I had a direct line to them and got them to do some really cool videos or interactive training programs, right from the hourly team member, it'd be really cool to promote that throughout the brand all over the country if I had a way to do that. So those are the kinds of things that we're looking at trying to enable for our user base, is giving them a platform to actually, to do some of that cool stuff.
Well, excellent. Ray, we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Great conversation. Have an excellent weekend. And guess what, folks? It is Friday, and we are out of here with a little bit happy.
Thanks, Ryan.